Well, it is the Sunday after Christmas. And I don't know about you, but this has seemed like a really long week. I kind of forgot that. But we should all be so excited this morning about the reality that Jesus came to this earth. He walked among us. And now we can have an eternal relationship with God. And this is so exciting. But today I just didn't really want to talk about anything Advent-y. I don't know about you, but I don't want to take a deep breath this morning. I don't want to hear any bells. It was beautiful, but oh no, not today. So I thought today maybe I would just tell you a Bible story. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, instead of a Bible story, I want to tell you the story of the Bible. And although I try to stay away from Advent, I think maybe this is the perfect next step and a beautiful way to get us ready for this new year that's just around the corner. Because in a few days, we're going to start 2019. Many of us are going to start diets. Not me. We're going to start going to the gym. Also not me. Maybe we're going to try to change our attitudes. I think mine's pretty fine. Maybe try to save money and so many other things that we think are going to help us have a better year next year. Maybe we are focusing on the wrong things, though. Getting healthy is a good plan. Saving money, that's a good plan, too. But I invite you to hear our scripture this morning, hear the story of the Bible, and see if maybe it changes your New Year's resolution just a little, or maybe it just adds a new aspect to it. So today's scripture's weird. Bear with me. We're going to be reading from both Genesis and Revelation. So Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Genesis 1:31, God saw everything he made, and indeed, it was very good. Revelation 7:9-10, after this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Revelation 21:1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you open with prayer with me this morning? Lord, I just thank you for this day, this opportunity to be in front of our church gathered together as one. Lord, would you speak through me this morning and open our ears to hear what it is you want us to hear. In your holy name, amen. I apologize. I will have to stop and take water breaks this morning. I'm a little sick, but I'm not infectious. So those of you that I pass the peace to, you're fine. In the very beginning, before we existed or even the universe had been created, there was our triune God, present and eternal. And then God decided to create this amazing world and humans to represent God's image in creation. And God and humans walked together in the Garden of Eden. And then free will was used. And this is where God's mission begins. Because the story of the Bible that I want to tell today is the story of God's mission. Because God has a mission and it is present all throughout the Bible. In the New Testament, the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Jesus asks us to be part of this mission. But if we don't know it, or we've never directly looked at it, if we're not actively seeking ways to become a part of it, then how can we do that? The Bible is the story of God's mission. It comes from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and if we read the Bible in reverse, starting with Revelation, it shows us where we are headed. The fulfillment of the mission of God, the goal of what God's compassionate love is trying to accomplish every day since the very first day. God, therefore, is the real missionary, and the church is sent into the world to do his mission. We therefore exist because of this mission. This starts in the Old Testament. We see after the fall, in the beginning, God deals with humanity as a whole, trying to restore us to the perfection of Eden. But then we get to the Tower of Babel, and everybody knows how that ends. And of course, we see humans doing what we try to do best, trying to be all that we need. From here, God chose to be in covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And this leads us to the stories of the Israelites, who are God's chosen people. They are supposed to be set apart and work within God's mission to bless the people around them because they are being blessed. This was not God being particular and saying only the Israelites will be saved, but rather it is a starting point to begin to restore all of creation. So this Old Testament mentality is a come and see mentality. They are to be so different, so set apart from the people around them, that people would be attracted to them, and they would be involved in the mission of God that way. They were supposed to be a blessing to everyone around them because they had been blessed. Needless to say, though, the Israelites got this wrong a few times. They're not always very good at being the covenant people, and they didn't always want to bless those that were around them. But then we get to the New Testament, and we see that Jesus becomes the new covenant. In Luke, we see Jesus' mission statement. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus declares what his mission will be while he is on this earth. And after 3 short years, we get to the death and the resurrection. When Jesus leaves us behind with the Great Commission after his resurrection, it is not simply a checklist, but is a cry for a holistic approach to God's mission for our lives and how we are to be a part of that mission. In Acts, we see the early church living this out after the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they work through that church. And today we are embodying that early church by being together in fellowship, and later we will break bread and ham together. This mission mentality in the New Testament changes from the come and see to the go and tell with the Great Commission that is there. But we're still called to be set apart. Our difference from the world around us will still draw the hearts of those that see it. And that's the whole Bible right there. Finally, we get to Revelation, and we could discuss the logistics of whether this is literal or figurative, but what I want you to see in Revelation today is the goal of God's mission being fulfilled. This shows where we are headed. All nations, all people, praising God's name. The whole earth renewed. God walking among humans again. Creation as God intended, and glory to God. So today, as we wrap up 2018, I wanted to ask, are we participating in this mission? Are we being both come and see and go and tell? And it's the end of the year, just a few days, it'll be 2019. So what have we done this last year to be in that mission? Well, let me tell you, in 2018, you guys did a lot. First off, let me just say how difficult it was being the newbie to figure out what all you guys are doing. There's a lot of groups in this church, and I had a lot of trouble figuring out every little thing that has been done this last year. So my New Year's resolution for 2019 is to be better informed and in better communication with all the little groups. I want you to tell me everything you're doing, because I want to do this again next year, but I want to have more information. So Nobody get offended if I don't mention your group. This is just all I could scrounge up. It's not a full list. Last Christmas, just like we are doing this past week for our Christmas Eve offering, you all raised $20,000 for Feed My Starving Children. And then in February, you packed 73,440 meals. You started a literacy program within the schools around here, and about 200 children have been helped this last year. We have a consistent ministry to put together food packs for two schools in our neighborhood, in our community. That equals about 500 meals being prepared this last year. We started a new meal ministry that all of you have backed up so well. The last Wednesday of every month, you have rallied behind that. You have provided the food in the last 5 months. You have provided the serving, the help, the smiling faces. And we have served our community directly with a hot meal and hospitality. Groups within this church, like Sunday school classes, the youth group, the United Methodist Men, have fed at least 10 meals at Restart this last year. That impacts at least 300 people. We have a consistent ministry to pick up leftover pizzas and bread multiple times a week and deliver them to either CSL, Woods Chapel Lodge, Shangri-La Home, or the Friendship Manor. It is impossible to count how many people that is impacted. The United Methodist Women have so many ways that they impact our community, including donations to CSL, Hillcrest, Restart, Della Lamb, Good Samaritan, and the Backpack Program. And under that, spearheaded by Linda Carey, they have made 270 shorts and dresses that have been sent all over the place, like Costa Rica and Mexico. Our adult and youth mission trips last year helped 13,150 people. We had 95 kids on our property for day camp in the summer. I anticipate so many more this year. We had 193 kids come to our fall festival with our trunk or treat, and that does not include their family. That is just the number of tiny bodies that were here. It's so amazing how we were able to open up to the whole community and impact whole families in that way. We also have groups within our church that help each other. They meet either weekly or monthly. Our youth group has grown from an average of 12 to 21. We have a cancer support group that meets and often has a humor night because laughter is the best medicine. You saw the last couple of weeks out there in the lobby, the independence group has been selling their nuts and their goodies, and that money is going to go towards a scholarship for a child of a single parent. We have a fast-track discipleship Bible study that ran two courses this last year and encouraged Bible learning and discipleship together. Our Wednesday nights, there's a crafting group that meets, and you may say, crafts, what do crafts do? They are the ones making those prayer shawls for our ministry. Some of you in this room received one of those prayer shawls this year. There are so many more ways that our church affects this community, the world, and they help disciple each other. So all together this last year in 2018, this church affected about 100,000 lives. Don't ask me how I got to that math. I can't remember, but it was God-given. So 100,000 lives. That is how you were a part of the mission of God. But for 2019, I invite each group, each ministry, and each person here to ask, God, how is it that you want me to be a part of your mission in this new year? As we take down our Christmas decorations and prepare for the next half of the school year, the mission of Christmas is just beginning. I stole this from Facebook, and I blended a couple versions together. Thank you, Joyce Kerber, wherever you are, because I saw it on your page first. The mission of Christmas. When the songs of the angels are stilled, when the carols have been sung, when the star in the sky is gone, when the trees have been taken down, when the kings have gone home and when the family and friends aren't around, when the shepherds are back with their flock, when we go back to our routine schedules, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to welcome the refugee, to heal the broken, to heal this planet, to feed the hungry, to share our gifts, to release the prisoner, to seek justice, to rebuild the nations, to build bridges of trust, to bring peace, and to bring Christ's light to this world. The mission has just begun anew with Advent ending. And I hope you took me serious the first week of Advent, and I hope you let Advent affect you. I hope you found the peace, the joy, the love, the hope, and the light that Jesus has given us by walking on this earth with us. Because Jesus has been born and the mission of God has reached the next step. Now we are to continue in the mission of God. So God, how is it that you want Blue Springs First United Methodist Church, my first home, to be a part of your mission this year? Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, we come before you today and we humble ourselves that what it is we want out of 2019 may be put to the side, God. And what really matters is how you want us to live in 2019. God, I pray that as we leave this space together, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, you would nudge our minds, God, and that we would stop for a second and ask, how can I be a part of God's mission this year? In your holy name, amen.